Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle in for Hugh today. We'll get to you people later in the show. And a couple of pretty wild things we have to hit on in the 130s. I mean, as usual around here, 130s is usually that.
Just remember, I wore the shirt. So
you,
all the comments better be nice.
Are you saying to keep it easy on
well,
you?
Well, no, I just...
I mean, you crapped on that.
No. I'm expecting the comments to be nice because I wore the shirt.
But then you didn't say the nicest things about Jalen Hurts. You were honest about the quarterback.
That's just me. I can't help
who
I am.
Well, people don't like the honesty about the quarterback. They do like when we try to finish the Phillies. 1 o'clock every day, a different trade idea to where we explore the idea of trading for a player. So today, Buzz is going to give us the profile of a player, and we'll say if we want him or not.
Let's make a deal.
Buzz, what do you got for us today?
All right, so here's the profile of the guy. It feels like a good Phillies need. They need a right-handed outfielder. I got you, right-handed outfielder.
Nice.
This guy is 26 years old this season. Only played about half the season thus far, 45 games. 268 batting average, 311 on-base percentage, 423 slugging. That's a 734 OPS. We're looking at a one-time All-Star back in 2024. Not the greatest fielder. He's got a 26 outs above average, 26th percentile. And as far as a contract is concerned, he is arbitration eligible at the end of the season and unrestricted free agent in the year 2030.
You know, I don't know who this is off the top of my head. I mean, the former All-Star. Not
the 24
having...
All-Star. Is it AL or NL? Can I get a hint?
National League.
Okay.
All right, let's unpack this a little bit further. In your opinion, Buzz, an available player, you know, based on his team's thinking, or is it one of those where it's like, it's kind of a bubble team?
No, he's on a bad team, and certainly it is very conceivable this player will be made available at this year's trade deadline.
Man.
Well, I am interested. I mean, just off the top of my head, I mean, they need an outfielder. This guy's OPS, what, in the 700, you said? 730?
734.
I mean, it's not great, but if you look at the Phillies lineup, it's the two guys in the 900s, it's Marsh in the 800s, and then it's basically everybody else in the 600s. So, like, this is our fourth best hitter, basically, if we get this guy. So, almost everyone that Kyle's thrown out the last week, I have been interested in because they're all upgrades. I mean, right field right now is a black hole. Rinconis looks like he doesn't really belong up here. And I'm a big fan of Derek Hill, but he's probably a part-time player that we're playing a lot right now because that's what we have to do. So, yes, I'm interested. How many home runs?
Hang on. Right, I should have had that for you offhand.
Is he more of a power hitter or an on-base? Like, where's that OPS coming from? The slug, or is it coming from the on-base?
Yeah, so he's got a 311 on-base, a 423 slug.
All right.
Is it Luis Robert?
It is not Luis Robert.
It's more of the slug than it is the on-base. 311's, 423 is a little bit better than, I am interested, but it feels like there's something wrong with this player that we're not picking up on.
Yeah. I mean, what's the catch here, Buzz?
There's always a catch.
He's only got four home runs this year. Ooh. And the catch is also he's missed some time due to injury, in particular this season.
I don't know who this is. It's bothering me.
And he doesn't walk a lot. He has 11 walks on the season.
Well, I mean, that's...
How old did you say it was? 31?
26.
26.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have no idea. I had another guess.
Actually, I might have a guess.
I wouldn't call him a household name.
Okay. Does he hit left-handed pitching? Like, do you think he'd be the kind of guy that his strength would be hitting lefties? He's a right-handed hitter?
He's a right-handed hitter. I don't have his splits in front of me, but off the top of my head, I would guess so.
Is it Heliot Ramos?
Yes.
Oh.
From the Giants.
Yes, exactly right.
I like him. Now, he's had a weird career where he was kind of a high prospect, did not work out early, and then eventually, I think it was last year? He may have made the All-Star team 2 years ago, but it felt
In 24, yeah.
Last year, he started to really pop as a player. Like, maybe he kind of sprung-board the All-Star appearance? Or maybe I'm misremembering.
No, he was a 792 OPS guy in 24, coming off a 537
right.
The year before that.
And then what did he do last year?
I would say 24, he really arrived. 25 last year, 728 OPS.
Okay, so
about the same thing this year.
Looks like he's around 737 OPS.
I think we should look. My head is telling me he hits lefties well. He could fit here, and he's under team control. I mean, what this would do is it would solve right field for a few years. Like, to me, he would be Adolis, but next year and the year after, it would take us off the revolving door of every year just wasting $10 million on an outfielder. Now, I don't think he would be as cheap as we want him to be, even though he's having a down year, because he's youngish, right? He's 26.
He's pre-arbitration.
Right, and like, why would the Giants be giving away former All-Stars that are 26? They don't have much. So I'm not sure how much it would cost. But I do like the idea of a guy that my head tells me hits like, when I picture the highlights of him, he's hitting a left-handed pitcher out of the park.
So this year against righties, a 254 batting average against lefties, 310.
He hits lefties.
Okay.
That's what we don't have.
Yeah.
Man. It does, at 26 and with that amount of control left, it does feel like that might be a little tough for us to get.
Yeah, he might cost more than we're thinking.
Yeah.
The other thing is he does have the ability to play all over the outfield. I mean, I wouldn't call him great, but like, yep. Think about Marsh could play center if you really need him to. This guy's played center before.
He's like a righty Marsh.
I think
but not as good this season, career wise.
I think that's an interesting comp. A guy that's like, it's
righty
okay.
Marsh of like last year or the year before.
Yes.
There's more to him. It just hasn't happened yet.
I mean, I'd be interested. Like, so, I think my whole thing was, my number one priority, I still think is pitcher. But if they can end up getting a guy who provides those type of numbers to your lineup, that's something I'm very willing to explore.
So now that I pulled up his full numbers, he had 22 home runs in the All-Star year, Buzz was talking about, 21 last year. He's missed time this year. He's only at 4. But he has shown back-to-back years he's got the ability to hit 20 home runs and play the outfield. That's better than anything we have here. I mean, think about the Phillies outfield. Think about right field. Kepler and Dolis. I mean, it's been just a joke. Merrifield the year before that.
The Adolis thing is really killer.
Of course it is.
I mean, it's...
If he had continued what he was showing for two more weeks, we might have said they don't really need an outfielder.
They probably didn't.
But now they desperately need
him. So I picked Ramos for two reasons. Number one, as we were talking before the show today, the number of teams... Part of this is the format Major League Baseball has gone to the last 5 years here of the extra wild card team. Mm. And part of it is just, in particular in the AL, how bunched together everyone is. There's four teams with winning records, but only like... two or three teams that are out of it in each league.
Yep.
I picked a team that seems like a pretty good lock to be out of it. Like so we'll be sellers at
bad,
the deadline.
Yeah.
And there aren't many of those teams. And it doesn't feel like a household name or a headline deadline name the way a Taylor Ward might, the way obviously a Skubal might. You know, Kyle's talking about pitching. It does feel like if a number of guys get moved at the deadline, he's one that could be a tad more affordable.
Not going to be like a bidding war?
No, I wouldn't think so. The other thing is the Giants feel like an obvious trade team, right?
Yeah.
Dombrowski has shown he likes to do the one-stop shopping. He goes to one team. So in 2022, it was Marsh and Syndergaard, right, from the Angels. Last year...
Although those were technically separate deals.
They were. Just as Bader and Durant were separate deals. But it's the same team, right? Like a continuation of the... The Giants also have Robbie Ray, who pitched yesterday. Robbie Ray could fit this rotation if we need another starter. Yep. I could see the Giants being a team, Kyle, where it's like, all right, we get a bat and a pitcher from them.
And then you could do what Rube was saying is... put Lizardo in the bullpen for the playoffs.
I like the Ramos idea. He's not perfect, but the more we do this, and I said this last week when you threw some names at this, none of these guys are going to stand out and be like, oh, that's the guy.
Yeah. You know, I'm realizing with these blind dates, I'm easy.
Yeah, I think I said yes to everyone.
I can be had.
What could I have said that would have made you say no?
Well, when you're desperate, you say yes, right?
You say yes.
I mean, we said yes to Jaron Duran. That's about, I mean, if you're that desperate.
I'm desperate, guys. They're going to run Rincones out there in right field again tonight. I mean, I was at the game 2 weeks ago and he hit his first home run, so maybe I'll see another one tonight. But I mean, doesn't he look overmatched to you guys right now?
Yeah, wow.
He just doesn't look.
He is. Don't sleep on Derek Hill, though.
How could I sleep on Derek Hill? He made the catch of the year. One of the great catches we've ever seen. All right, so Elliot Ramos, today's finishing the Phillies. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Lucien in Jersey talking to Phillies. Hey, Lucien.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Lucien? What are you thinking?
Just about the Phillies, you know. I mean, I think they're doing something good right now. I don't think moving Lizardo to the bullpen is a good idea. I was talking with John on the show at 2 a.m. about it, and even he's like, you know, don't bring up Gage Wood. You know, it's just not the right time. But I mean, I think you just have to trust the bullpen in certain situations. I don't know if Dombrowski's going to make a move before the deadline. He could. I don't know what he would do, but...
I don't trust the bullpen in any situation.
So here's what I would say. I know you said you had the conversation with John about Lizardo. Like, that Lizardo idea, Kyle just brought it up. Ruben Amaro brought it up.
Playoffs.
Yeah, to me, that's not a regular season thing. Like, Lizardo is a starting pitcher. But when we get to the postseason, Lucien, if they get another starter, say, right?
In the postseason, I feel a lot better with him in the bullpen.
All hands on deck. I mean, that's how the Dodgers won it all last year. It was Sasaki. It was Yamamoto. It was Glasnow. They basically just kept using the same seven pitchers over and over again.
Their bullpen wasn't good. I mean, right. That was like their bullpen was gettable.
Yep.
And whenever they came into the game, it was like, okay, like time to feast.
Yes. It was really right after the game where the Phillies blew them out in LA in game three. They were like, oh, we're not using this bullpen anymore. We're just,
and honestly, I feel like we're in a pretty similar situation. Like I said, besides Duran, like I don't trust anybody.
I mean, Lizardo could be what Sasaki was last year. He dominated out of their bullpen.
I think his stuff plays really well out of the bullpen.
I think that, I think the bullpen, it could be interesting if we make it to the postseason. Also, I don't know if you guys know, but Schwarber, he passed Jimmy Rollins for the most home runs as a Philly yesterday. I thought that was pretty remarkable.
It is remarkable.
It's the fastest he's ever been to 30 home runs as well.
Back-to-back years at 30 before the All-Star break,
it
which is
crazy. It is insane that he has 30 again before the All-Star break.
The fact that he's not in starting the All-Star game really bothers me, all because Ohtani somehow is a DH even though he pitches. It just doesn't add up for me.
And Lucien, I'm with you. I wish he was starting the All-Star game, especially because it's here and good phone call. I almost wish, and I know this is going to sound counterintuitive to like the Ohtani thing, they should just grandfather Ohtani his own spot and then do the voting for everyone else.
Yeah.
I mean, he might be the best player of all time.
Sure.
Of course he's going to start the All-Star game. Just put him in.
Yeah.
And then I could vote for Schwarber.
Well, yeah. So hold on. He gets grandfathered into just making the team, right?
In my idea or this?
No, like right now. He got the most votes, so that means he has to just be on the roster.
So the person who had the most votes in the AL was Ernie Clement for some reason, and then Ohtani in the NL. They're just starting. And then every other position
Has to start.
Has to start because he got the most votes. It's just like Ernie Clement's going to start at second base in the AL because he got the most votes in the first round.
So I was going to say, just start Schwarber anyway.
But he'd have to
what
go,
are they going to do?
They'd have to put him in a different position.
Oh, like, I don't care.
Throw him in the outfield. Vote for him now. I mean, I would do that.
It's an all-star game.
I agree. I get it. Ohtani's going to start. Also, it's also unfair. Ohtani has a whole nation behind him voting besides America. That's it. I mean,
America should have had Schwarber's back.
Well, they tried. Japan won out. I don't know what to tell you. Well, America may have had. Speaking of the All-Star voting, what are we going to do about this? I just got the email that you can go vote now for round two. So, it's the Phillies. They're sending the email out, of course. And I get the email to go help Marsh, Bohm, and Stott.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to vote for Marsh. I voted him for round one. Round two, I'll vote for him. He deserves to start. I'm cool with that. Guys, what do we think? Are we really voting?
No,
are we really going to vote Bowman to start the All-Star game? Doing this?
I might vote for the other guys. I can't, out of principle, let those guys make the All-Star game. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Not.
What are we doing?
The Albies Stott thing, all right.
Well,
it's not that big of a difference. How do you vote Bowman to the All-Star
game? What would Bohm be doing in the All-Star game?
Grounding into a double play is what he would be doing.
That would be a joke.
It is a joke. I mean, I appreciate that fans here have this, and this happens every year. The home city boosts the votes, right? But really, like, Harper got shut out of the final voting for first base, but Bohm is in the final voting for third base.
It'd be like Shador making the Pro Bowl last year.
It does. Bohm starting the All-Star game has real Shador vibes. It does. And that's not what you want.
No.
No. And then I feel like if you're going to the game or you're watching it with your kid, you have to explain it, like, Alec Bohm starting the All-Star game? Yeah, I guess.
How'd that happen? I'm like, I don't know. Don't ask me.
No. It would be wild if Bohm and or Stott start the game and Harper and Schwarber
aren't.
Or Sanchez
do not. And Sanchez isn't going to either because of freaking Mizorowski again.
I did wonder something on, what was it, Friday? Does Wheeler have a little chance to start this All-Star
game? Seltzer tweeted this, that he thinks now Wheeler should be the guy.
Start?
And how quickly that changed.
He's going to start the All-Star game?
Well,
that's what James
has. His ERA dipped below Sanchez's? I think it may have.
Wow.
I think he
did have that blow-off.
I know. I think he may be a 2-ish and maybe Sanchez a 2-1. I mean, they're close. I mean, here's the case for Wheeler to start the All-Star game. It's
Wheeler at 203, Sanchez at 213.
Okay.
Wow.
I mean, the case is pretty simple. Yeah. It's here, right? And this might be his last shot to start one of these. I mean, he's older. Has Wheeler ever started an All-Star game? I don't know if he has. Skeens got the start
not
at 24.
That is a Philly.
Well, then he didn't.
And then he didn't do it as a Met.
No way.
No.
I mean, it's kind of a lifetime achievement, right? Like, Mizorowski is going to get to start a bunch of these probably. Sanchez may get a chance to do this again down the line.
They need to right the wrong of last year. Mizorowski should have never been in over Sanchez last year.
No, but Mizorowski's probably going to start this game.
That's fine, but they screwed Sanchez last year. Screw Mizorowski this year.
So give Wheeler the start?
For Tat. Well, no. Sanchez Well, you should write the wrong
right,
to Sanchez.
So Wheeler's going to start on Wednesday, I think, against Skeens. I think it's Wheeler Skeens on Wednesday. How many starts do you think he has till the All-Star game, Buzz? Two more after that or three?
Yeah, because they go on a 9-game road trip after
probably
that.
Probably two more.
So he starts Wednesday. He'll start the following, what, Monday?
And then Saturday?
Or yeah, because if you go Sunday, you then he's out for the All-Star game.
I mean, if he has three more starts, let's say, till the All-Star game. If he pitches three gems and his ERA's in the ones,
yeah,
he's got a chance.
Sure.
It's like the horse in the race that was like way in the back, and then it's just going to catch up by the end.
You know, if Boehm or Stott get in as starters, we might have to have a conversation about stop letting fans vote. Fans can't be trusted.
We've gone too far.
You're going to lose your voting privilege.
I just don't understand the Boehm thing, guys. I guess he's played his best this season since the voting started in early May.
Awesome.
But guys, I mean, look at the number next to his name. It says a 630 OPS. Come on. Let's have some standards. Juwan is in Delaware. What's up, Juwan?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Juwan. What's up today?
I kind of just wanted to debunk the whole Bart Scott with Patrick Mahomes losing everything. I mean, outside of Tyreek Hill, that was all he lost. The infrastructure is still there. Andy Reid is still there. Spags is still there. Kelsey is still there. So that's kind of hard for me to agree with that because the infrastructure is still, you know, all together. And then even with Jalen Hurts, as far as the organization needing him more than they need each other or whatever like that, it's kind of hard for me to agree with that as well because he restabilized the organization. Prior to Jalen Hurts, there was none of this success. We weren't talking about going back to the Super Bowl year and year and year after year. So it's kind of alarming for like a local radio station to like put down the guy
so much
who's done more than all the quarterbacks previous to him.
But Juwan, they did win the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl 3 years before they drafted him. It's not like they never won anything before he got there.
They've also been back to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
They've also been back to the Super Bowl two out of the past 4 years.
So you're right. And so here's
they didn't have that sustained success with Carson Wentz. Did they or did they not?
No. I mean, Carson Wentz didn't even get him to the Super Bowl. That was Foles. No. I mean, Jalen's obviously better than Carson by a lot. So, Juwan, I think in the beginning of his career, they needed him more than anything, right? You're right. He helped stabilize it. And I think because they hit on him and he was cheap, they were able to put all those players around him, like the trade for AJ, all that. But now I feel like it's flipped the other way, where he needs them more than they need him. Like, they got a great team now. If they didn't have him and they had another decent quarterback, they'd still win a lot of games.
We can't. That's a what. We don't know that.
Well, they're all.
That's all we do.
What we actually see.
No, you're
it's
right.
We got to contextualize what we see. The other guy said that Jalen Hurts was carried by Oklahoma and Alabama. Jalen Hurts was the best player on the Oklahoma team, only finishing second to Joe Burrow in the Heisman race.
Right, but Oklahoma was good before he got there. Alabama was good before he got
there. We're talking about established programs, like the Eagles also an established program. Juwan, if he was on Toledo, is he winning to the same degree as he was on Alabama or Oklahoma? Is he winning the Heisman? Probably not.
But we can also say about Patrick Mahomes. If he was on the Browns, would Patrick Mahomes be Patrick Mahomes? We don't know.
So everybody
is a benefit of one another.
But I guess that was Bart Scott's point. Yeah. I mean, now he excluded Mahomes. He put him in a rare category. I think he did the same thing with Allen. Yeah. But I think he was saying most NFL players are all products of their environment. That's what I heard him say.
I just think as a collective, the entire team can be better. But to constantly talk about one singular player every week, it's kind of alarming from a local radio station.
What is alarming? Because are we supposed to be sitting here waving pom-poms, being cheerleaders, and tell you that everybody's great all the time, or are we supposed to give our opinions? What's alarming?
I didn't say that at all.
I don't understand what is alarming. Like, what is offensive to you, I guess?
It's not a double standard.
It's just reality.
And support.
Oh my God.
We don't talk. We never talked about this before. We never talked about it with Kurt Warner when he had Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce and at Marshall Falk.
We weren't on the radio, and that was in St. Louis.
Harrison and Reggie Wayne.
So, all right. So
we're not Indianapolis Sports Radio.
Juwan, good phone call. I will say this. And you could agree or disagree. I think deep down you're going to agree. Jalen is interesting. The whole Jalen thing is interesting because of all the things that come up all the time, right? They are a loaded team, but they do win with him. And Juwan is right. Before he got here, they were in a downturn. I mean, all these things are true. He's one of the more, I think Jalen is one of the more difficult athletes to actually ascertain what their value is. And I've ever seen. Because like you have people that truly believe he's the reason for all this. And then you have people that truly believe any other quarterback in the league, you put him in here and they win. And then there's probably the reality that sits somewhere in the middle, which is he's been good, but they've also been loaded around him. And that's led to all this.
Let's tell you the truth about the whole thing. He's fun to talk about.
Yes, because he's interesting.
But he's called in about him.
His career is interesting. His value is interesting. The way people on the league talk him. I mean, that's why when we had
dinner. Alarming.
Well, it's not alarming. When we had Dan Orlovsky on last week, when he meant, what was his line? The opinions don't match the facts.
Yeah.
It's true. Right? The facts
that
are.
That makes for fun conversation.
The facts are what they are. I mean, the Eagles are great with Jalen Hurts. The opinions are, when people watch it, especially people that like look at the tape, they're like, that doesn't look right. And that's what A.J. Brown was referencing for years. Like that, he was just saying it in his A.J. Brown way and obviously acting like a clown most of the time. But wasn't that what he was saying? Like, I'm open.
Yes.
We're open.
Yes.
Throw the ball.
It can't be more obvious what he'd been talking about this entire time.
That is what Dan was saying. Dan did it in a more buttoned up way. And AJ did it with, hey, the passing game's the problem. Yep. Janky Rondo and all that nonsense.
The bleep show?
Yeah. Let's go to Chaz in Fairless Hills and let's talk about Ben Simmons. What's up, Chaz?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Chaz. What's up?
I just wanted to say that when I heard this thing about Ben Simmons wanting to come back, I almost fell off my chair. That is so funny.
Well, don't worry. I can't imagine he's coming back.
Oh, my God. He stole so much money for Philly.
He did. I mean,
it's
hundreds of millions. I mean, if we're being real. Matt, Chaz, I didn't even get to read the last line of the story, but I want to read it now because you called in about it. So the author writes, quote, "What makes me wonder, while he's here reflecting on the cusp of turning 30, fresh off his win at Walker's K, which I think is the fishing thing, perhaps about to embark on his comeback, is there anything he'd do differently?" And here's the quote to end the story. Quote, "Nah, I'm Ben Simmons. I just got to keep doing what Ben Simmons wants to do." He doesn't get it, Chaz.
Yep.
He doesn't get that because he didn't adjust his game is why he's out of the league.
It's unbelievable. Why would you not adjust? I mean, that is beyond me. He could not shoot a jumper.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And the coaching staff let him get away with it
for years. I remember when Brett Brown said he wanted him to shoot a three a game and then he didn't do it for like months. It was a slap in the face to Brett Brown.
Not all of us.
Yes.
His whole tenure was a slap in the face to all of us.
Unbelievable. That's Hugh Douglas moment when he said, Jalen Hurts is Rocky.
That Chaz.
That's one of my least favorite.
I totally agree with that.
No!
I am Jalen Hurts fan.
Come on. Oh. You can't agree with that. Rocky's a ham and egg, Chaz.
Listen, I see the guys do not give enough emphasis on the fact that our offensive line is nowhere near what it used to be. Nowhere near. Cam Jurgens is not the greatest replacement for Kelsey. I mean, he might be good and everything and handpicked, but he's no Jason Kelsey.
Well, you're right about that.
The offensive line was horrible. And Saquon wasn't the same running back.
He wasn't. Chaz, I think what you're hitting on is probably the biggest question about the team that none of us know the answer to until they play the first game. Can this offensive line bounce back? I mean, the story of the season is probably on that. Chaz, good phone call. All right, we'll throw that in the mix. When Hugh Douglas compared Jalen Hurts to Rocky.
No.
Can we let that win?
That was really annoying.
It would be a win for Douglas. I mean, we can't allow that on the show. I mean, that's too much. This Ben Simmons quote is bananas. I mean, talking in the third person.
Well, that sums up the Ben Simmons
experience.
I mean,
what is he, Ricky Henderson? What are we doing here?
Yeah, that's the I'm an all-star thing. It's the same crap.
When I was watching the draft last week, it struck me. I actually thought about Ben because almost all these prospects come in and they're not great shooters, right? And they basically say about all of them, if or when they learn a jump shot, then they'll be all-star players.
Yep.
Like the top kids, right? The lottery kids. What he had to do isn't the craziest thing. Players come in the league all the time that don't have a jumper, and they get a jumper. And they become better players. And he wouldn't do it.
You're telling me that people that enter the league are not finished products when they enter the league?
No, he was a number one overall
pick. Somebody told Ben Simmons that.
And refused to improve. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, coming up on the other side, we got a lot of things. We need to get to you people, of course, as we always do. We also need to address what happened on the afternoon show on Friday, because that was a scene. And There's nothing funnier than the New York Mets.
No,
we'll explain that next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giller, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh. Coming up before this show ends, we can't leave till we give away the HBCU Swingman Classic tickets. July 10th, Citizens Bank Park. This is your last chance to hop in. And the best answer we get today to your favorite Hugh Douglas moment on the field or on the air. Or anything in between, I guess. I mean, just your favorite, your go-to Hugh moment.
Yep. On the big screen as an actor.
Yeah. Does anyone really, like, would anyone pick those? I mean.
Do you hear his line in Limitless?
I did. Part of me hopes Hugh does get back in acting at some point. I mean, just one of
these
funny.
He has to, yeah.
Well, think about it. We could
one
use
project a year.
We could use the audio on the air. Plus, I would love to do a red carpet show. Like the premiere, we make Rod expense our trip out to L.A., to Hollywood.
Yep.
Why do we have to do this? What do you mean?
We have to hype him up as though he's going to win an Oscar.
Yes.
And then get very disappointed and angry at the committee.
When Godzilla wins it instead?
When Godzilla once again steals an Oscar.
Absolutely. All right, so your chance to hop in here for the tickets to the HBCU Swimman Classic. We'll get to you people and some events this weekend that just are almost leaving us speechless that we have to try to react to. Let's go to the phone lines here. D in Camden is up on WIP. D.
Oh, hey, what's up, y'all?
What's up, D?
I just wanted to talk about Jalen a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, y'all guys know that we have literally one of the best sports organizations probably in the entire world. Like, forget just football. Like, the Eagles do it right. You know, they've been doing it right for a long time.
I agree.
So, of course, Jalen is more fortunate to have them. A lot of those guys are.
Yep.
Like even y'all are because we get to talk about them every day.
Exactly right.
I am grateful that the Eagles are as good as they are. Yeah, of course. I mean, it makes football talk interesting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, he is a very interesting cat for sure. Up to last year, though, I'll say last year kind of took me off the over-loving Jalen because I saw a lot of things I didn't like. And I, like, really saw his flaws finally last year. But before that, it was nothing you could tell me. Like, of course we had the best quarterback in the world. Like, you know what I mean? What's wrong with people over-loving their quarterback? There's nothing wrong with that, right?
I mean, in theory, no, there's nothing. I mean, you're right. I mean, if you or anybody or, you know, it doesn't matter who, any fan wants to say he's the best, inherently there is nothing wrong with it. But, like, it's hard for me just as a fan not to be like,
yeah, I mean,
well,
you'd be wrong.
Well, I mean,
you can say it.
Yeah, we got to have some.
I can say a lot of things.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But sometimes you guys, y'all come off like villains.
It's not
like
me.
No.
Sometimes it feels like y'all would rather have him fail just so y'all could be instead of be wrong and, you know, he does his thing.
Well, I mean, I don't feel that way. I know people probably don't remember it now, and I wasn't doing this show. I was on at night then. I was one of his first fans. I was happy with the draft pick. I wanted him on the field because I thought the other quarterback was a stiff. So deep down, of course, I want him to do well. I mean, I thought he could play from the beginning and they could win with him. It's just as careers go on, there's the ups and the downs and the ebbs and the flows, and we'll see what he does this year. D, what's your go-to Hugh Douglas moment?
I think mine is one of those drops where he's like pretty much just stuttering.
You actually kind of quoted him on that. That's pretty
good.
D, all right, so you're in the mix there.
You know, Jalen could change the entire conversation around him this season.
Of course he can.
I mean, well, in a lot of ways, but I'm talking more about like how we talk about him. He takes this offense. He is the driving force behind this offense next season without A.J. Brown, with the new offensive coordinator of the seventh one in a billion years, you know, all that. Then I think all of us will be forced to talk about him in that way. Like, it's all entirely going to be up to how he plays this season for how the conversation is going to go. It could be we end up going more towards the side of the people who are obsessively over the top about Jalen, or the bottom falls out from underneath him.
And we've been here before. I mean, I think sometimes we forget because there's so much and there's so many years that go by. We've been here before. 2021 into 22 was the same thing. Right, and he was just cheaper and younger. But there were a lot of people who didn't want Jalen here, didn't like the draft pick, right? And they were against the idea of him being good. And then what did he do in 20? So I would say just off the top of my head, just remembering it and feeling it, I would say it was 80-20 were super skeptical. 80% were like, I don't know about this guy. Yeah. To 20% were like, yeah, he's good. He's going to be the guy. What did he do in the 2022 season? He completely flipped it over. By the time we got to the Super Bowl and he played that way, how many people were thinking Jalen wasn't good anymore? Yeah. Like 2%?
Anybody who's being honest, right? Because there's always going to be the people out there who are just going to be trolls and rip him just for the sake of ripping him just to piss off Eagles fans. But anybody who's looking at this honestly, I mean, their opinion is open to being changed. My opinion's open to being changed. He can change my opinion on him.
New information, new opinions.
It's that simple, guys. It's that simple.
Yeah, listen, if Jalen plays great this year, I'll be up for bringing him back, and then that'll be great. I mean, and then maybe it's an evolution in his career. I need to see. See it to believe it camp is where I'm in right now. All right, a couple things we need to address here. I mean, this is like we did this whole show. We had all these topics. This is really why we're here today, to address these two things.
Waiting.
Okay, let's start. Can we start with the Mets? Because the Mets are endless entertainment. They have been my entire life. There's nothing funnier in sports than when the Mets are bad. It's perfect. And obviously last week they fired their manager. I guess it was Friday morning, right, as we started the series against them. Mendoza was fired. So what you're going to hear is Steve Gelbs, SNY, up in New York. Now, if you're watching on YouTube with us, you'll be able to see this. I don't believe this was planned. I don't believe Steve Gelbs had any idea this was happening. This was a straightforward, had a sideline reporter given the story of them firing of the manager, like not a joking tone, tough moment for them, bad season. And what you have behind Steve Gelbs is Mr. Met dancing as if it's just fun and games. Let's hear it. And if you're on YouTube, you're watching it with us. It's incredible.
You put how the team got here. If there was, they'd fix it. There's a lot of layers to this, but what I will say is it's become clear that the Mets simply changed too much this offseason at one time. There's every reason in the world to say that last year's team collapsed. We're going to make some changes. But when you turn over the entire roster, the entire coaching staff, you put...
The best part is, it's Mr. Met, and right behind him.
That's great.
Right behind him, jumping up and down and dancing. Yep. It sums up the Mets perfectly.
But he's got no feel whatsoever.
No.
Terrible mascot. I mean, you're a baseball.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything better in sports, Buzz, than when the Mets are bad. It's just hilarious.
They're just the easiest team to troll. Like they're just the way you know they're the easiest to troll is that their own fans do it too.
Yes.
Like
yes.
I actually, we all hate the Mets down here. It's so much fun to see them fail. I actually have, I don't like them, but a decent amount of respect for Mets fans because they're a very self-aware, self-loathing group.
Oh, they're a punching bag. Yeah.
And they know they are. And they know their place.
I saw this weekend someone put up a bracket of the 64 like worst moments of Mets fandom over the years. And I forgot about so many. Like there's a lot of them. You're like, oh, I forgot about
Bobby
that
Bobby Bonilla Day on Wednesday. I mean, coming right up.
So the one I remembered when I looked at the bracket this weekend is when they closed Shea Stadium down, and I guess it was 08, right around that time. They held their ceremony to Shea Stadium, like the bring out the old legends or whatever, till after the final game, like at the end. And they got eliminated that day. So as all these legends are coming out, the fans are just mercilessly booing because they're pissed they got knocked out of the playoffs. Like everything they do is wrong.
So they did the same thing at the closing of the Vet, but the Phillies were way out of it. So
right,
like
that's different.
It was different.
Right.
Yeah.
Like if you're going into it as like a win or in or lose or go home game, you can't like take the chance that after the game everyone's mad.
If you're the mascot, you gotta have a feel. I mean, the Fanatic would never do something like that.
Never.
I mean, the Fanatic knows. The Fanatic knows when to go in and out.
Yeah, you gotta the moment. And the Mets never do.
Mr. Matt does not.
Speaking of the moment, you gotta know when there is a moment. Well, we had this moment on Friday in the afternoon show. So, of course, Herb from Northeast Philly was giving his top 80 athletes in this century last week. We picked apart that list pretty thoroughly on Friday with his top 80, but he wanted to add 20 more, right, to get to top 100?
Yeah, so he did 81 through 100, many of which were already featured
repeats
in the top 80.
Oh,
so it's really like a top 65.
It sounded to me like this was less of a top 100 list and more of just how many athletes can I name?
Can I remember?
And he didn't even get to 100 because he repeated many guys.
Well, that's part of it.
You can call back and do more today.
Well, we'll hear some of it, but also while you're hearing this, knowing he's sitting on Jack's lap at Chickies at Pete's. And I can imagine being a patron just trying to eat your dinner. I mean, that's quite
It was a Noah Kahn crowd down there, a lot of confused people.
Well,
I don't know how much overlap there is between that and
there
WIP.
A pretty big story about that concert on this weekend?
There was, and it wasn't me. I want to deny that was me.
I was going to ask, but I'm glad you deny it. That way I don't have to ask. All right, let's hear some of Herb on Friday.
No. Dude, you say sit on that thing?
He did.
Did Herb feel a poke?
The image.
Do we think it moved?
I hope not. The image is incredible. I also love if you kind of pan to like Ike's face as it's happening. It's just like.
Well, you can't believe it's real.
Well, I mean, can you believe anything with Herb is real? Except it, like he's real. I mean, that's Herb. I mean, everything you hear from Herb is Herb.
Amazingly, he is real.
He's completely real.
He's very real.
That's one of those images, though, it's going to be tough to get out of my head for a long time.
How did Jack not, like, break?
Well, towards the end, he was. So he gets through 100 through 81, and Spike's like, all right, we're going to save Jack. Just go to the top 10. And then Herb's like, 79. And he gives the athlete, they're like, no, top 10. He goes, 78. They're like, no, you will not sit on here on the air or on Jack's lap for 100 athletes. You will not do it.
How long was he actually on his lap? Was it more than a couple minutes?
It was at least, I could go back and cut the whole thing.
10 to 15
minutes? No, I don't know if 10 to 15.
Five?
It was at least, I'll say at least 7 minutes.
That's a long time to have another man just sitting on your lap. Especially that man is Herb. Oh my gosh. All right, let's talk to Matt in Prospect Park. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Kyle. How you doing?
What up?
So where the hell is you today? What's going on with him?
Well, he's at a golf outing. Now, if he's actually playing golf or not, we're not sure. I'm sure he'll have a lot of stories for us tomorrow. I mean, that's a lock, that he will have plenty of stories.
This actually brings me to my, I'll go first with the Hugh thing. Mm-hmm. This isn't a Hugh moment. It's more of a Hugh, I guess, lifestyle feature is how I would describe it. I love that Hugh is just unapologetic about not wearing underwear. Socks.
Yeah,
that is kind of crazy.
Yeah, he's very unapologetic.
He should not tell people
to the point where he said he barely owns a pair of socks.
Disgusting. Actually,
he almost makes me feel like, why am I wearing under? Like, he almost like flips it on me where I'm like, maybe I'm the crazy one. You know what's happening? No.
He does that a lot to us, where he believes something so strongly, even though it can't be right, but it makes you question. Are you actually right? It's a gift he has in a weird way.
It's one of his talents. It's like a wizard type thing.
A gift is
do.
A word for it.
Anyway, we're on the air. So with Jalen, I would say, I think that if we went into a parallel, we could peek into a parallel universe and see Jalen drafted as, I think we were talking earlier, this was a couple hours ago, if Jalen was, I don't know, if he was a Saint, if he was a Falcon, if he was a Viking, I think we'd be pleasantly surprised by what he does, but there's no question that this organization really props him up. And he definitely wouldn't have a ring, definitely wouldn't have gone to a Super Bowl. But I will say one thing on behalf of the, I can't believe 54% saying that Jalen is better for us than we for what we've given him in terms of support and organizational like structure. I think we haven't given that in terms of instruction, in terms of scheme. I mean, that's of course what we're going to confront in this next season. So I think that definitely he's lucky to be here, but there are some things with his development that I think we've been lacking in with Sirianni at the helm. And I'm a Sirianni guy, but I just don't, you know, X's and O's wise, it's been very hit and miss. It's been very discontinuous.
Matt, I agree. And I think it's actually probably the one thing we don't talk enough about. Like, because the Eagles' objective is to win or try to win the Super Bowl every year, there's not much time for development. And part of me has wondered if that's stunted Jalen as a quarterback, like as a thrower, right? Because his legs were so good. And he was so good at the RPO, like, and they were good enough to win the Super Bowl. Like, why would they not just do that, even though it may have stunted his growth as a thrower four years ago? You know what I mean? Like, the idea wasn't develop him. The idea was win with him, and they did that, so they worried about the development later. I think it's actually probably something that Jalen defenders should use more. I think it's actually the Eagles may have stunted his growth as a thrower because he was so good as a runner and an RPO quarterback.
Don't give them excuses.
Well, I'm just trying to help. It's actually a good thought. Matt, all right, we'll get you in the mix for the Hugh Douglas thing there. We appreciate it. That was a good one. I mean, Hugh does do that. I don't know if I could give the winner to him.
No, it's really annoying.
Yeah.
Again.
It's too annoying.
Yeah.
All right, what do we like so far? We've had a lot of good ones. We had a lot of good newer ones this last hour.
You know, I think I was waiting for somebody to say the bacon on the air.
And that was Will?
And that was Will.
Is Will our guy?
I think Will might.
All right, Will, you're going. Will, you're going to the Swingman Classic on July 10th. Congratulations, Will, in the Northeast. All right, let's get to you people here.
You people.
It's time to hear from you people.
What do you mean, you people?
All right, so a number of people were going off in the chat. Now, they didn't have Hugh, who was oftentimes their usual punching bag.
Yes, yes.
But nevertheless, they still found plenty of content. So obviously, Kyle sitting in the Hugh chair.
I wore the shirt.
But a lot of people questioning the decision to have Kyle in the Hugh chair.
Oh, okay.
That's weird.
A lot of people asking, where's Low T?
Oh.
Why isn't he hosting instead?
You think he would have been nicer to Jalen than me? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Careful what you wish for.
Tom's one of those guys where he can... If you get on his bad side, he will go after. I mean, to Trey a couple weeks ago.
He can't stand the Jalen crazed fans.
Yeah, I get that. That makes sense.
So he is out on that. Poor Rhea has to save this boring show.
Yeah. Poor Rhea, every week.
Poor Rhea. She keeps showing up, though. At 10:30 Monday, she said
she must really hate it.
Yeah.
Must really hate it. Yep. Someone nicknamed us, said, welcome to the Thad, Chad, and Brad show.
Who's who?
Yeah, it's...
Does it matter?
No,
I guess it doesn't matter. All right. Fair. There's worse things you people have said to me than that.
I would agree with that. This one I found particularly funny. Someone just out of nowhere goes, Buzz is a loser. I don't know what I said.
Yeah. That happens. If you're there, you're like...
I'm just sitting in
your
Kyle's spot.
You're a sitting duck. Yep.
I didn't hear loser activity from Buzz today. At least not much. I mean...
No, he agreed with me, I think, a lot of things.
Not more than usual.
Yeah. Normal Buzz.
It wasn't an especially loser day from Buzz.
And Aaron in San Diego wanted to chime in with the ways he could tell Kyle Quinn was not Hugh Douglas. His hat, mustache, the fact that he's representing the Flyers, his weight, his voice. Those were the only Kyle Hugh differences that he could come up with.
Nothing else. It makes plenty of sense.
Yes.
Was that a particularly brutal Aaron call today?
It was horrendous. Yeah. I mean, it honestly feels like they get worse and worse. No, it's got to stop.
We should have a rule that until you throw for 4,000 yards, you cannot be considered the Sky Marshal.
It's actually almost insulting coming from one of his biggest fans.
It is.
It's mocking.
It is mocking.
Because Aaron knows he's not the Sky Marshal.
Well, and just talk, like, he's a touchdown maker. He's a dual threat quarterback. Sure, things that are real.
There are a lot of nicknames you could have for him that would fit. Besides Sky Marshall.
Do you remember back in the day when he first started as the starter, OG Wade tried to nickname him the Duke?
Oh, that did fade. That did not catch on.
Well, he stopped saying it.
I think he realized it didn't work.
He did it for a year or two, though.
He tried his best.
He really did.
So, like, the Sky Marshall, doesn't that feel more like something one of us would say mocking him?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Someone who genuinely supports him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Patrick Mahomes
is a Sky Marshal.
Was the Sky Marshal.
Peyton Manning was a Sky Marshal.
Yes.
Yes.
5,000 yard passers.
Drew Brees was a Sky Marshal.
Yes. At least get to 4,000.
No.
Not a Sky Marshal.
No. He's the tush pusher. I mean, whatever. You could figure out something that fits his game. Sky Marshal.
Hey, Aaron's got to be better.
Yeah, he does.
You might be onto something there about him regressing. Like, I was one of the rare people. I got ripped on the afternoon show. I gave him votes in Caller of the Year as an 8 seed.
It's getting worse.
Because my argument was, it's how much entertainment you bring as a caller.
Well, yeah,
and the way he needles Spike is incredible. Mm-hmm. Now, it feels like he's kind of taking a summer hiatus with the quality of his calls.
I mean, is he like his quarterback, right? Jalen burst on the scene in 22, and then it's kind of gone backwards since then. Is Aaron just the Jalen of the callers?
Yeah, he needs more breadcrumbs, more fuel, you know? He hasn't had much in a while. It was a down year for Hurts. Usually that's like they become stronger when they have more ammo. I think he's running out of ammo, and it's becoming pathetic.
Well, I will nickname him the Phone Marshal. How about that? Yeah.
All right. Well, we appreciate all that. Thank you to you people. Let's grab Jarrett in Charlotte.
Remember that for tomorrow.
Let's grab it. Jarrett, what's up, buddy?
Hi. How are you doing, Joe? Love the show.
Thank you, Jarrett. What's up?
I think you and me are seeing eye to eye with Jalen. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't baby him and say that the organization hasn't developed him or done anything like that. Because of the fact is, we didn't draft a newborn baby that became a 19-year-old the next day, and all of a sudden we have to teach him how to throw the ball forward. I mean, I say that's a little much. I mean, he was the second supposedly in the Heisman, even though he got basically zero first place votes. I mean, you know, one guy had 60 touchdowns. He had like 22 and he got blown out.
Yeah.
8 touchdowns to 2 in the national championship game with 2 second half, you know, backdoor touchdowns. So it's like not even close. But what I wanted to get into is I believe, if you can't tell, that, you know, the team owes Jalen basically nothing other than the contract they signed, which they should rip up after this year, say goodbye, draft a 2027 quarterback, you know, with all the picks that they are accruing, and maybe trade Jalen Carter, and it's done. Save $110 million by getting rid of 2 Jalens, because Carter wants Hurts money. Hurts is going to want $60 million. That's $110. Get rid of them both. Start fresh. Sign everybody else.
Wow.
Get a rookie quarterback, and then we're all born renew. We're all renewed again with the new birth.
Jared, listen, I know a lot. Jared, we got to run. A good phone call. A lot of people are not going
to
be happy with that. I wouldn't give it a 0% chance they do those things. I wouldn't say it's
more of a chance than I think a lot of people would like to believe.
All those picks and all that cap space. Howie Roseman does well with that stuff. All right, you guys have a great rest of your day. Afternoon show is up next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.